Our first speaker of the morning. Well, I can always delete it later. Ellie Weber, 9 o'clock on Sefer HaMitzvot. Number. No number. Number 26.
They found a scroll, Birkas Kohanim scroll there.
You don't want it uploaded?
No, I told you.
Yeah, I don't remember.
IRS.
What did you say to your wife to give you a shiner like that?
Story's even worse.
It wasn't your wife?
No. We had that all the dust last week. The farmer filled up, the floor got slippery. I fell.
Wow. Yeah,
the wife story's more interesting. Likely story.
You're an intelligent man. I would come with a better story than that.
You should see the other guy.
All right. We're out of order only for selfishness purposes for me, which is I had to prepare a share. This is number 26. Nesiut Kapayim is Birchat Kohanim. We're really up to 20, which is building the Beis HaMikdash, which we'll do next week. We'll be there. But we're part of a series, we're moving into that area of the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvot. Mitzvot's related to the Beis HaMikdash, of which Birchat Kohanim is one. Again, it's a little bit out of order, but it's not too much out of order.
Just an introduction to your shir, Birkas Kohanim scroll. The oldest written anything in Hebrew found in Eretz Israel was found
near the Begin Center.
Behind the Begin Center.
Right.
So it's interesting.
Where was it found?
Behind the Begin Center.
It's planted right there by
now.
Many.
It's also part of my Bar Mitzvah Sefer.
Now, what I want to do, Birchas Kohanim is, of course, fascinating in its own right. It's also fascinating in the context of how you view it in the spectrum of mitzvot. Let me start with the following question. When we think of mitzvot aseh, when I think of mitzvot aseh, they generally fall into two categories. One is what we would call unconditional mitzvot. When sukkah comes, you have to take a lulav, you have to sit in a sukkah. When Rosh Hashanah comes, you have to blow a shofar. When Pesach comes, you have to eat matzah. Let's assume for a second, every day you have to put on tefillin. Okay, every day you have to learn Torah. Every day you have to daven according to the Rambam. Those are what I would call unconditional mitzvot. They are absolute. Every day you have to do these mitzvot, or when the time comes, you have to do them. Then there's a category of mitzvot that are conditional. Namely, if you have a house and it has a door frame, you have the mitzvah of mezuzah. If you don't have a house, there's no place in the Torah where it says you must buy a house in order to put up a mezuzah. There's no place in the Torah where it says the house that you buy has to have a porch from which if people fall they would get hurt, and therefore you have a mitzvah in the Torah to put up a ma'akeh if you do. Doesn't say in the Torah that you have a mitzvah to divorce your wife. Yeah, doesn't. But it says if you're going to divorce your wife, you have a mitzvah d'oraisa to give her a get. It doesn't say any place that you have to have an Evan Knani, that you have to marry a...
Tzitzis.
Huh?
Tzitzis.
Tzitzis is an interesting one. We'll come to tzitzis. We think tzitzis, we hold l'maisa that tzitzis are unconditional. You're supposed to wear tzitzis every day. But in fact, they are conditional. Technically speaking, if you wear a four-cornered garment, you have to put tzitzis on it. If you don't wear a four-cornered garment, not. Okay? Here's the threshold question. Birkat Kohanim. Conditional or unconditional? Into what category does the mitzvah d'oraisa of Birkat Kohanim fall?
It's conditional.
Yeah. Conditional on what?
Being in shul, at the least of being in shul to give the blessing. Nobody, they could walk out, and then you've got nobody
so
to bless
you. Your position is, if a kohen is in shul for Birchas Kohanim, he has a mitzvah, and if not, he doesn't.
There's a kohen that sits in front of him in shul, and he walks out before Birchas Kohanim.
Right, but is
there conditional on having a Beit HaMikdash?
It depends.
Ah, so here's another shita. That means that Bizman Hazad, there's no mitzvah Birchas Kohanim, according to you.
You mean the right thing.
It's only...
Yeah, well, since the Bahava is included, if for some reason the kohen feels he can't do it, or he doesn't want to do it, he has an option of simply walking out of the room. But if he's in the room and it's taking place,
I don't think it's optional for the kohen. If it comes to duchen, has to.
Okay.
I mean, if not, it's over.
Okay, so I what I hope to show you is both positions exist. We'll have to play it through because it matters in many, many ways. But even before that, that's the halacha question I want to deal with. But even before that, the philosophic question, which I find even more fascinating, which is, what's going on in Birchas Kohanim? Here's the fundamental thing that bothers me. I believe that if God wants to bless me, He knows how to bless me. Why all of a sudden, I can't think of another mitzvah like this, where God appoints somebody else to bless me. You're the only Kohen here, right? I just want to get the...
What about on Friday night where everyone gives the blessing?
Nah, so that's a lovely thing. It's true. It's a lovely thing to get a blessing, and if you're a chassid, you go to the Rebbe, you get a blessing. This is a mitzvah d'oraisa. I'm not discounting blessing. All I'm saying is, we all should recognize, it's at least a little odd that God needs the help of Kohanim to bless me. Okay? It's not like some earth-shattering question. There are answers to it. But I think when we look at the mitzvah of Birchas Kohanim, it pays to keep that question in mind. Why would God have chosen... The question is better formulated. Why did God choose to have Kohanim bless the rest of Am Yisrael? Not because it's a problem, but it's something that we need to think about.
Because of the various ambiguities, it's one chutzlar. It's rarely done. It's
so maybe that has to do with it, maybe not. Let's start at the beginning. Just the psukim. The psukim in this past week's parasha are pretty clear in that there's definitely a bracha going on. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemor, for a source, daber al Aharon ve'el banav lemor, ko tivarechu et bnei Yisrael amor lahem. So God says to Moshe, tell Aaron and his children, they are the Kohanim, this is how you should bless bnei Yisrael. Amor lahem. Now, amor lahem is problematic in the pasuk. Again, ko daber l'aron vel banav lemor. Tell Aaron and his children as follows: ko tivarchu et bnei Yisrael. This is how you should bless bnei Yisrael. What's amor lahem? Amor lahem seems superfluous.
Tell them.
Right, but the pasuk starts daber l'aron.
There's a difference between amor and daber. Different severity.
There is, but so then the pasuk should have said amor l'aron. People point this out. One possibility is Amor Lohem is...
Say the following.
Right, that could be the pshat. That tell Aaron and his children as follows, say the following. It's a little awkward, but it could be. And then we know. Yivarecha Hashem v'yishmarecha. There are three brachas. Yirah Hashem p'nav elecha v'chunecha. Yisah Hashem p'nav elecha v'yaseh m'cha shalom. And then you have at the end, V'samu et shemi al b'nei Yisrael. This is God speaking now. That I will place my name on b'nei Yisrael. Va'ani avarachem.
No, they will put my name on it.
They will.
There. Va'ani avarachem.
I will bless
who?
Good question.
Children of Israel.
Well, it's one possibility. I'll bless the children of Israel. What's the other possibility? What's the other possibility?
If they do it, they can't do it. Then they won't.
Right. They'll bless B'nai Yisrael, and if they do a good job, I will bless them. Okay? It's definitely ambiguous, but those are the two possibilities. Okay? Excellent. So far, so good. Now, how do we know that it's a mitzvah? So, it's a mitzvah because it seems that way in the Torah, and the psukim seem pretty clear, but the Gemara actually expands it beyond what we would have possibly guessed. Number two, the Gemara in Sota, Lamed Ches Amud Beis says, Va'amar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Kol Kohen She'eino Ole LeDuchan, Over Bishlosha Aseh. He's not Mevatel one mitzvah Aseh, a Kohen who doesn't go up, is Mevatel three mitzvot Aseh. Strange. Why? One is Ko Tivarechu. One is Amor Lahem. Remember I pointed out Amor Lahem seemed like extra words in the Pasuk? So the Gemara seems to say Amor Lahem is another mitzvah, somehow an additional mitzvah. And then Vissamu et Shemi. There are three kind of commands in the Psukim. One is Ko Tivarechu, this is the bracha. One is Amor Lahem.
What do you mean by Amor Lahem? It tells Fatmoishan to tell him.
Nah, so in the Pasuk, Amor Lahem is the Kohanim. In this Pshat in the Gemara.
More like Amor Lahem.
It might sound that way. I'm saying in the Gemara.
You said it.
I know, but in the Gemara, it sounds like they're saying Amor Lahem is another mitzvah on the Kohanim. And then Vissamu Ashimi. One thing is clear, it's all plural. One second. It's all. Every single command in this pasuk is kotivarechu, plural. Amar lahem, whoever it is plural. Visamu et shemi is plural. Yes.
That's an imperative. Amar lahem. That's
the imperative. In the Gemara's reading, it's an imperative. Yes. Okay. In our reading, it was just descriptive of what they should say.
Because Omer is.
I know, but Amar is a command. Okay. Now, what's problematic here is if I had asked you, is Birchas Kohanim a mitzvah or not, everybody would have said, of course. Look in the Pesukim. If I asked you how many, nobody would have said three, including me. Everybody would have said one. So when you look at this, I want to be careful how I say this. When you look at the Gemara, my reaction to the Gemara is sometimes the Gemara, exaggerating is the wrong word. Sometimes the Gemara tries to emphasize a point by saying they're mevatel three mitzvot aseis, even though the Gemara doesn't mean it literally. Right? When you look in Tarak mitzvot, when you look in anybody's Sefer mitzvot, there are no three mitzvot for Birchas Kohanim. It's one mitzvah that Kohanim have to bless Bnei Yisrael. So, if you look in the Rambam in number three, the Rambam subtly, casually, you know, easily rereads the Gemara. And I don't think the Rambam thinks he's rereading the Gemara. I think the Rambam's just describing what he thinks the Gemara really means. The Rambam in Hilchos Nesios Kapai Perak Tesvav Halacha Yud Bet says, Kol Kohen She'eino Olelu. You know what, even before that, let's stop for a second. Let's come back to our original question. You read the Gemara. Any hint, is Birchas Kohanim conditional or unconditional? Again, number two, the Gemara says, Kol Kohen She'eino Olelu Duchan Over Bishlosha Aseh. Any Kohen who doesn't go up to Duchan is Mevatel three mitzvot Aseh. So now I ask you. But the Gemara, it seems unconditional, but I suppose you could argue, if you wanted to try to support Kohanim who don't go to shul, what would you say?
If they didn't go.
If you're there.
If you're there, you're
there. Right, but in fairness, it doesn't say that in the Gemara.
Right.
Perhaps you could read that into the Gemara, but if we're honest with ourselves, the Gemara seems to be closer to the position that Birkat Kohanim is like Talmud Torah. You know, Kol Yisrael She'eino Lomei Torah B'chol Yom Mevatel Mitzvat Aseh. Kol Kohen She'eino Olel Duchan. Olel Duchan is just a description. You know, Duchan means like a podium, right? That's where the when we say Duchaning in Chutz La'aretz, it's because you're supposed to go up to a podium. The Duchan. Duchan is a word in modern Hebrew also.
Yeah. So if a Kohen is not your Mishmar and you're not in Yerushalayim, you can't Duchan. So that would make it conditional.
Well, you couldn't duchen in the Beis Hamikdash. You
right.
couldn't.
You're not.
But it's
not
clear. But maybe you could duchen all over the world. Who said that it's only a mitzvah in the Beis Hamikdash? We haven't seen anything yet. It doesn't say kol kohen shenim tzav beit hamikdash. It just says duchen.
Yeah, but the concept of kahuna, if you're talking about the original concept of the kohen, his only function was in the Beis Hamikdash.
No. His avoda was limited to the Beis Hamikdash, but he was a Kohen all over the place.
He was a Kohen by birth, but his function, his work, was only in the Beis Hamikdash. When he was sitting in the Galilee,
right
at home, he didn't do anything.
Well, no, he didn't do Avoda.
So what did he do?
No, Avoda is limited to the Beis Hamikdash. If you want to claim, and somebody claimed this already, that Birchas Kohanim is just a din in Avoda, and therefore it only exists in the Beis Hamikdash, you could claim that. But that's not support. That doesn't appear to be in the Gemara. That doesn't appear to be in the sources.
That's sort of self-evident.
Why?
Because before the Churban, there weren't shuls.
No, but
there were no shuls around Israel.
Yeah, but what about before the Beit HaMikdash?
It's not at all clear.
So they didn't duchen. They didn't duchen in the desert.
In the Mishkan.
No, they only duchen in the Beit Mikdash.
The fact
it doesn't say that.
It's not clear. The fact that there wasn't a sitter. Right, the fact that there wasn't a Shmona Esrei, you're exactly right about that. It was not Shmona Esrei. No one said Ashrei. You know, none of these things existed. It doesn't mean that there wasn't Birchas Kohanim.
There wasn't any davening.
It doesn't mean that Birchas Kohanim
is. People didn't used to daven three times.
Birchas Kohanim is not davening. Birchas Kohanim is a standalone mitzvah d'oraisa, and there's no reason to think that
I got Bruce going here. I'm sorry.
Okay, now, the only advantage I have is that I prepared. Like, I've seen the sources. So now, I can't, you know, your point is valid. I think I can try to show you that it wasn't, that historically it wasn't the case, but your point is valid. And all I'm saying is, our whole discussion is premised on the fact that Birchas Kohanim exists outside of the Beis HaMikdash, which is the Rambam,
from the time of the Chulban,
which is the overwhelming position in Rishonim and the Gemara. Even if I grant you that, it doesn't matter. Fine, I'll grant you.
Eventually, yeah, because Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, after the destruction.
It's fine, but then you're saying it's only Drabbanan Bisman Hazeh, which I don't think is true.
Oh.
You're saying it's just a copy. It's like Korech Bisman Hazeh, Zecher LeMikdash. You know,
everything in Shul.
Isn't Davening Drabbanan?
No, what?
Don't we say Davening is by Drabbanan?
The Rambam says that the idea of tefillah is d'oraisa, the specifics of what you say is drabbanan.
So this would be one of them, no?
No. Forget this idea. We duchen as part of davening, it's true. But it's a standalone obligation. It's like saying, I didn't take a lulav on Sukkot because I didn't go to shul. What does one have to do with the other? It happens to be that we take a lulav and we wave it during halal because it's nice in davening.
Mm-hmm.
And happens to be that we establish Shmona Esrei and the avoda part of Shmona Esrei after Modim is where we stuck Birchas Kohanim. But Birchas Kohanim predated, you know, as you say, predated Shmona Esrei by hundreds, if not a thousand years.
Well, then could you do it at home? If Davening alone choose to do it at home and bless everyone in your
house? No, so there's a halacha, you need a minyan. But that's a technicality within the overall mitzvah. Now, let's make some progress. It's a fair point. Let's make some progress. So the Rambam, just again, the Gemara says a Kohen and doesn't duchen is mevatel three assays. Then you look at the Rambam. Now it's true. The Rambam has Birchas Kohanim and Hilchos Tfilo Nisiyat Kapayim. That's the name of the halachos. But I want to point out, there's two separate things. He just puts them together because they're related. It's called Hilchot Tfila Unisiyut Kapayim. Why? Because Nisiyut Kapayim is not part necessarily, is not covered by the definition of tefillah. It's a standalone mitzvah that happens to be related. Right? The Rambam does it a lot. The Rambam has Hilchot Milachim Umilcham Tehem. The laws of kings and their wars, because they're related. But the law of war is not necessarily the same as the law of kings.
Yeah, but the only person who has a mitzvah during a war is a king.
Okay.
And the only way you could do Birkat Kohanim is in the context of tefillah. Like Bruce said, you wouldn't stand in your salon and do Birkat Kohanim, right?
If you had a minyan, you might.
Yeah, in the context of a tefillah with a minyan.
No.
If you had a minyan, I'm saying, I agree.
No, yeah, but not for mincha. Let's say you invite over 10 friends. Bruce sleeps late in the morning.
I never do that.
Let's say, I'm sorry for having mentioned the possibility. Bruce sleeps late and he feels bad. So he shows up here and he goes, you know what? I want to do Birchas Kohanim. So, you know, we could feel odd about it, but it's not part of tefillah. After Bris Milah, the minog is to do, it's not part of tefillah.
Mm-hmm.
It's easier as part of tefillah. Now, but let's go back to the point. So the Rambam says, read this Rambam because it's great. Kol Kohen, number three. Kol Kohen Sheino Leleduchan Afal Pi Shebitel Mitzvat Asei Achat. Now that's against the Gemara. What did the Gemara say?
Three.
The Rambam says he's Mevatel one mitzvah. It's just how he did. Look how subtle. Hareze Keover Al Shalosh Asei. It's like he was over on three Asei Shenemar Kotu Varchuet Bnei Yisrael Amor Lahem V'Samu Atshmi, etc., etc. So I just wanted to point this Rambam out because I don't think the Rambam reinterprets the Gemara. I think the Rambam thinks this is what the Gemara meant. Literally, the Gemara said you're mevatel three assays, but the Rambam says the Gemara didn't mean it literally. The Gemara meant to emphasize the point and to say that you're mevatel one assay. There's one assay of Birchas Kohanim, but it's so important and it's expressed in three different ways that it's like you're mevatel three assays.
That's a very typical sort of analysis.
Okay.
You know,
okay. I just you know.
So we say in the Haggadah, you know, that there were 50 plagues, there were 250 plagues. It's the same idea.
Maybe, but I wanted to point out. I think it's so nice how it's only. It's because when I looked at the Gemara, this is just so you'll know, like this happened. I looked at the Gemara and I said three assays. It sounds so odd. And then I'm doing it on Bar Ilan. So right away I click on the Rambam, the hyperlink to the Rambam to see, and I see what the Rambam does. Like he fixes the problem for me. The Rambam on that Gemara says it's like three assays. Not really three assays. It's like three assays.
You know, in Balo says also with an insect, you're over a five level.
Yeah, but that may really be. That may really, the Gemara takes that seriously, that there really are five separate lavim. It's true. But
so
that
it's the same thing.
No. Here, I'll tell you a funny example. We're learning chulin in yeshiva. So these guys were harassing me. Why don't we have like a shechita? We could really see what it's like and whatever. So I bought a sheep, and we got a shochet. And
how many guys showed up?
A lot of guys. And I had this idea, you know, that we'll basically put the meat in the freezer after we salt it. We'll learn all these great things. And then we'll have barbecues at some point, you know, and it'll be like, we'll actually save money because we'll have a barbecue, we'll have to buy the meat. Anyway, the Shochei, a lovely, you know, Gush alumnus, fantastic guy, tzaddik, whatever, gives a whole shear, shows the knife, you know, how, all the things you have to do to prepare. And then he shechts the animal, and apparently it's exceptionally rare, but, you know, he said in the course of the shechita, the knife became pogum. Maybe the animal had a rock in its throat. It could happen. Be honest with you, I was disappointed because now the animal's in a vela, so we couldn't eat it.
Wow.
But then,
how did he know that? Did he check the knife?
A million times in front of all of us.
That's
the din.
It
was very educational in that, you know, you say to yourself, I wonder if he wasn't standing in front of 100 guys who were looking carefully, whether in a schlachthaus, you know, they don't check so carefully. But he did it. Then we dealt with it anyway. It's all educational. Opened up the animal, showed all the pieces, whatever, everything. And then he reaches into the lungs, and it's a sircha. Meaning, you know, and he touches it, he takes it, he shows everybody, it's a trefa. So, it's a million, you know, it's a one in a million that we got an animal that turned into a nevela and a trefa. But I think you could be over two isurim if you eat it. Because it was a nevela and a trefa. As bizarre as it sounds, you know, we got the most non-kosher animal in the history of the world. The only thing that could have made the animal worse is if it, like, worshipped Avodah Zarah first. Okay? No, because a pig is only a nevela.
Yeah.
A pig could never have a din of a trefa. It's like bizarre, but that's you know, we made it as unkosher as is possible.
It's good to sell it to the islands.
So I tried to sell it back to Allah, who I bought it from. And he really screwed me over. Whatever, he was like, I'm not buying it back from you. It's treif. Like, what do you care? Anyway, okay. So sometimes it is the case that you could be over on more than one losa, say, at the same time as Mr. Weiser suggested. But here the Rambam says they don't mean that for Kohanim. Okay, but again, in the Rambam, our question: conditional or unconditional? The Rambam. There's no hint of conditional. The Rambam just says, it's just like the Gemara. Kol kohen she'eino lele duchan is mevatel one asay. That's like three asay.
It's conditional. It shouldn't be a mum.
No, but he's a kohen who can't work now. But it's funny that you mentioned. Now you look in Shulchan Aruch, from the Rambam to the Shulchan Aruch, and you'll see something interesting in terms of how things develop. The Shulchan Aruch clearly was the Machab was clearly cribbing from the Rambam, which he does all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. But watch what happens. First, in the context, he's talking about who can duchen. This is the point Mr. Weiser just mentioned. So number four, the Mechaber in Kuf Chav Ches says, Kol Kohen She'ein Bo Echad Mehadvarim Hama'akvim. First of all, he's not allowed to have a mum. Okay? But any Kohen who doesn't have any of the psulim, im eino ole leduchan, if he doesn't go up to duchan, afal pi shebitel mitzvat asei achat, hareze keover begimul asei. Now, everybody clear? This is basically a quote from the Rambam. He did exactly what the Rambam did. One asei, but it's bad, it's like three. And then he adds as follows: when im hayab beit hakneset kishekaru kohanim, he's only mevatel and asay if he was in shul when they yell out kohanim. So now you could argue that he thought this was the Rambam shita, but the Rambam didn't bother to say it. I don't need to have a position on that. It's clear in the Shulchan Aruch, who we paskin like, that it's conditional. If you're in shul when they call kohanim, and you're a kohen, and you don't go up, you're mevatel mitzvah saseh. If not, not. Or, another way, o im amru lo la'alot o litol yadav. He says, it's not just if the guy yelled out kohanim, it's also the case if the gabbai comes over to you and he says, you know, we need you to duchen, please go wash your hands. If you say no to that, you are mevatel mitzvah saseh, and I believe you are mevatel mitzvah saseh bizman hazeh.
What if he just walked out before?
Ah, so then that didn't happen.
Are you mevatel?
No. I mean, so in the mechaber, in the mechaber, it's clear that you avoided the issue. In which case, it becomes, you know, kind of a conditional mitzvah. Meaning, I don't have a door frame, so you couldn't say that I was yotzei the mitzvah mezuzah. On the other hand, I wasn't mevatel the mitzvah mezuzah. So I would say, to really exaggerate the point, I would say, if Bruce walks out at the beginning of Shmona Esrei, it's like he's like me. Meaning, I don't, when I get up in the morning, I don't have the mitzvah of duchening because I'm not a kohen. So somehow, you know, it's not really true that he stops being a kohen, but with respect to the mitzvah of duchening at that day, at that moment, he doesn't, you know, why a person would want to do that, I don't know. Because,
well,
one second, I would want to get a mitzvah. If it was me, you know, I would want to go to shul and get the mitzvah.
But the practical difference between the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch is, sorry Bruce, we're always coming back to you, but
yeah,
you know, does a kohen have to come to minyan in the morning because of duchening or not?
Agreed. If you take the Rambam literally, if you assume that the Rambam means it's really unconditional, then yeah. You have an obligation. Nobody gets up in the morning and says, well, if I go to shul, I'll put on tefillin, and if I don't, I won't. You have a mitzvah to put on tefillin. I would assume in the Rambam, yeah, you have a mitzvah to duchen every day, and if you don't do it, you're mevatel the mitzvah.
Is this any different from the one Baal Korah in a minyan who decides that Monday, Thursday, he's not coming?
Yeah,
although it's lined
up, it's
he's
different
in the lane.
Of course it's
and
different.
And if he doesn't show up,
as a practical matter, he's letting down the tzibur. It's true. But as a technical halachic matter, he wasn't mevatel mitzvah say. It's clearly not a mitzvah saseh min haTorah to lane on Monday and Thursday.
Right.
But you know, the better example, as we'll see in the Minchas Chinuch, it's like putting on tefillin.
And even in the Rambam's time, you must have envisioned occasions where you don't have a minyan, you
correct,
have to daven for yourself.
Correct.
So you're not really mevatel anything.
Yes, I absolutely agree. I'm saying, I'm happy for people to argue within the Rambam that the Rambam also understood it in a certain context. All I'm saying is it's not there.
If that comes in the middle of davening, he's involved in the mitzvah, so he doesn't have to stop.
It's a very close call.
Really?
Especially if you imagine this, at least the way I see it. Shmona Esrei is drabanan. If duchening is d'oraisa, and again, you could argue that this is all on drabanan level because there's no Beis HaMikdash. But if you don't take that position, you know, you could certainly argue that maybe Kriya Shema is a mitzvah d'oraisa. So if you're saying Kriya Shema, you're okay. But if you're saying Rifa'inu, okay, now, let's look at the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, number 5. Remember I told you this is number 26 in the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. In theory, that's what we're doing. Rambam says, Va'amitzvah ha-chav-vav, the 26th, he shenitztavu ha-kohanim livarechet Yisrael b'chol yom. V'hu amaro yitaleh ko tivarchu et b'nei Yisrael mor lahem. Okay, now just to be absolutely clear, if you flip over,
this is Sefer Mitzvot D'oraita.
Correct, absolutely.
According to Rambam,
absolutely.
No question, this is
absolutely. Then look at number 9. Flip over for a second. Look at number 9, the last line in that Sefer Achinuch. The Sefer Achinuch says, "V'noheget mitzvah zo b'chol makom u'v'chol zman b'kohanim." Again, "kol makom v'chol zman" means two different things. It means Israel and Chutz La'aretz. And it means Beis HaMikdash and no Beis HaMikdash. Okay? It's a mitzvah on the Kohanim, ki aleihem mitzvah zo levarechet Yisrael. Because on them is beholden the mitzvah of blessing B'nai Yisrael. Now, you could say, yes, it's true, it's an unconditional mitzvah on the Kohanim, but who said every day? Right? So we have a mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek. Most of us don't do it every day. I actually say the Zechiros because why not?
Well, you're reading the headlines and you got Amalek.
You know, but most of us, there are mitzvot asay. The mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek is not conditional. We're supposed to, the Torah says, Zachar eit asher asalacha Amalek, badach betzichem Mitzrayim, etc., etc. It's unconditional. Somehow we think that we're yotzei that mitzvah, Kriyas HaTorah, Shabbos Parsha Zachar. So if you want to claim that Kohanim don't have to run to shul every day, I'm willing to accept an argument that nobody says it's every day. I assume it's possible that, okay, I'll admit it for myself, I think there are days that I don't give tzedakah. Maybe I don't have money, I don't put it in the tzedakah box, no one comes to the door. The mitzvah of giving tzedakah is, technically speaking, an unconditioned, you know, you have to mitzvah to give tzedakah.
But not every day.
Huh?
So who said? Well, who says it is every day?
Fair enough. All I'm saying is, so fine, so then
occur to you that it would be every day?
So then, well, I don't know. So argue, then we could argue just as fairly that for Kohanim, there is a mitzvah to bless B'nai Yisrael. How often?
Well,
I don't know, whenever. There is a fallback position that I just found out about that says a person who doesn't give tzedakah at least once a year, no matter what, is mevatel mitzvah saseh. Okay, that never happens to anybody here. It's also possible that a mitzvah is twofold, meaning that if no one asks you for tzedakah, the fallback position is you got to find somebody to give at least once a year. But it's also possible, notwithstanding that if somebody comes to your door and you have a 50 shekel bill in your pocket and you could afford it, there's no question about it, and the guy in front of you, you believe him, he's an authentically poor person, he needs the money, and you say no, that could be a bitul mitzvah saseh of tzedakah. Because in that moment, the circumstance, even though it exists unconditionally, once a year, but it also exists conditionally. The guy comes to the door and he asks you for money and you believe him and you don't give him, and you could, you're mevatel mitzvah saseh. We could say the same thing about Berachas Kohanim. It exists unconditionally, meaning you have to do it at least, I don't know, once in your lifetime, once a year. But if you're in shul and they call you and you don't go, you're mevatel mitzvah. So it exists on two planes. Yes?
I was going to mention the calling part, because if everything, you're there, you're davening, they're about to call you up, but for what if they don't call Kohanim,
right?
So it's conditional on the Baal Tefillah to actually call you.
No.
Well,
can you just walk up and duken if you're not called up?
So, as you well know,
there's only one Kohen.
When there's only one Kohen,
right,
they don't call.
That's in the Torah.
Well, it's a strange thing. It's because the psukim are written in the plural.
Yes.
See, I would have said, if there are multiple Kohanim, who cares if I go? So I'm in the middle of Rifainu. What's the difference? Somebody's up there blessing the people. But if I'm only Kohen, I got to get up there. It's bizarre. It's the opposite. Because when you're the only Kohen, they don't call Kohanim.
I was all once in the shul where we all got up there. There was no one left.
Yes, there's a din. Beit Knesset Shekulo Kohanim. And the din is, you duchen anyway. And who do you duchen for? The Am Shebisadot.
Right.
Meaning there are people, it's supposed to work for people who aren't in shul.
I mean, it seems from the caption of the previous Rambam he wrote, because he says, Hilchot Tefillah V'Nesilut Chapayim.
Mm-hmm.
Because he puts the duchening together with davening, it would appear that it is a mitzvah every day. Like you daven every day, you've got a duchen every day.
So that's why if people paid more attention, we go back to number 5, excellent, where the Rambam says in Sefer HaMitzvot, V'amitzvah ha-chovav hi shenitztavu ha-kohanim livarech et Yisrael b'chol yom. Right? Couldn't be any clearer. The Rambam says every day. Now, to be fair, it's a machlokes ha-girsos in the Rambam, whether he really meant to say that, and that's what it really says. But in our version, and we think that this is the correct version, the academics and the later people all think this is the correct version, livarech et Yisrael b'chol yom. So now, how did the Rambam know that it's a mitzvah to do it every day? The answer is, I believe, this I heard from Rav Asher Weiss, but I think it's sort of intuitive, and I don't want this to be the focus of what we talk about now, but every day is the fallback position for mitzvot aseh that don't have a particular time frame in the Torah. Meaning, it doesn't say any place in the Torah that you have to put on tefillin every day. It says in the Torah, "Ukshatam laot al yadcha vayulu totafot beininecha." Why not once a year? Why not once in your lifetime? Without going into all the sources, the fallback, Yeah, but it could be once in a year. It could be once in your lifetime. The fallback position in halacha is if there's a mitzvah satorah and it doesn't tell you when, it's once a day. which is the argument in favor of thinking that Zichiras HaMalek is once a day. Okay? Maybe it's,
that's a bit complicated to say.
I understand.
You make hand,
let's, but you,
we, let's say we well, accept it.
You don't think, one thing, you're not shocked. When I tell you that you have to put on tefillin every day, you're not shocked.
Well, I grew
you
up
knew it your whole life.
I grew up.
But I'm telling you, there's no source for it other than the fact.
You're dead right. I mean, I can't argue with you. But
you will.
What do I do with a mezuzah? I have to put a mezuzah on my door every day?
No.
But that's also a mitzvah that doesn't have a time.
I'm sorry. So,
so how do you,
fair,
how do
fair
you
point.
Define the...
Fair point. There's something, mitzvos that have a halot, mitzvos that have a result, they have to be fulfilled, and once they're fulfilled, they don't exist anymore. So for example, kiddushin, getting married, for most people, for most monei ha-mitzvot, is one of the mitzvos d'oraisa. You're not supposed to get married every day. Once you achieve the result of being married, bris milah, right? Once you're a mohel, the mitzvah, you know, you could argue that I'm mekayim the mitzvah when I go home and I, you know, have a house that has a mezuzah on it. It's a status mitzvah, but a status mitzvah can't be every day. A status mitzvah just has to be achieved. What I'm talking about is an act. If the Torah said ulekachtem pri eitz hadar kapot marim vanaf eitz avos la'arvi nachal, and it didn't say bayom harishon of Sukkot, what I'm telling you is you would have to take a lulav every single day. It happens to be the Torah limits it. The Torah limits matzah. The Torah limits shofar. But if the Torah doesn't limit it, the fallback position is every day. And I think that's where the Rambam got it from. Because there's no other source. The Rambam says, there's a mitzvah that Kohanim bless B'nai Yisrael. How often? It doesn't say. It must be once a day. I'm sure of that. Whether you like it or not, I'm sure of that.
Well, the fact that you're making it sound pretty important... It's interesting, therefore, that
I didn't make it sound important.
Therefore, the Putzer they chose to doubt.
I want to get there because I think that ties into everything that we're saying, and that's a big question that we all have to ask ourselves, which is how in the world were they mevatel a mitzvah sase? I'm claiming it's like one of the most important things ever. What happened to it?
Well, souls living in Israel, and they also canceled that out.
What?
Living in Israel
is not a mitzvah.
They didn't care.
They canceled it.
No, they didn't.
No, they didn't.
They don't do it. That's not the same as canceling it. Okay. Just very quickly, we'll look
that
at number
more
six.
Kind of severe.
We'll look in number six in the Minchas Chinuch. He says, "V'nireh dehamitzvahu bechol pa'am, every time a matchim of orchin mekaimim mitzvah." Here's interesting. According to the Rambam, you're in shul on Shabbos. You duchen for Shachris. You duchen for Shachris. Why do you duchen for Musaf? If it's once a day. The Rambam says a mitzvah levarech et ha'am b'chol yom. So the Minchas Chinuch says, and it's clearly the case, he says maybe your chiv is once a day. Every time you do it, you get a mitzvah.
It's a
mincha. Huh? So there's a reason why the Gemara says we don't duch at mincha because we assume that the Kohen drank by then. And it's an issur d'oraisa.
Musaf also,
huh?
They're drunk by Musaf also.
No,
Kiddush club.
The apparently Kiddush clubs were a later institute. The mitzvah saseh of making Kiddush before Musaf was a later institution. I think in the halacha they were pretty sure that Kohen didn't start drinking till after Musaf. And by the way, that's the din. Right? A Kohen's not allowed to make Kiddush at the Kiddush club.
Right, even grape juice is not.
It's absolutely prohibited. It borders on an issur d'oraisa. Well, great, you know, whatever. I remember when I was growing up, we used to have a break on Rosh Hashanah because the Rebbe went to go to mikveh before blowing shofar. So we could go home to make Kiddush, and the Goldbergs used to come to our house for Kiddush. Why? Because they were they couldn't make Kiddush. Because they had to duchen. That's the din. Happy memories from my childhood. I was so jealous of the Goldbergs. I wanted to be a Kohen. It was so... And I
the price?
With,
the,
huh? No,
relevant.
Really not. Okay.
Was the
shul so
right on the boardwalk?
No. So, the Minchas Chinuch says, every time you duchen there's a mitzvah. V'im b'varchim, end of the first line, kama pa'amim b'yom, mekaimim b'chol bracha mitzvah taseh. He says, yeah. Every time you duchen, you get a mitzvah taseh. Ach zehu kimo mitzvah tzitzis. Now that's the point you made at the beginning. It says it's just like tzitzis. How is that? De'im ein lo beged dalet knafot, eino over ba'aseh, rak eino mikayem. Technically speaking, a person who's not wearing a four-cornered garment doesn't get the mitzvah of tzitzis, obviously, but he also is not mavatel the mitzvah of tzitzis. It's like he's in a status of he doesn't have a house that requires a mezuzah. So the mitzvah doesn't apply to him. Hachanami, he says here too. Daha mitzvah b'chol yom hu over im eino mevarek rak im mevarek pa machat eino over od. See, but it's a little different than what we said. He says, you have to do it every day. Once you do it every day, let's say you walk out for Musaf. He says, then it's like you're not wearing a four-cornered garment. You're not mevatel. Okay, you're not getting an extra mitzvah, but you're not mevatel it. So long as you did it once that day. But if you didn't do it once that day, then you are mevatel a mitzvah. Now he says further. If you do it many times during the day, then you get a mitzvah every single time. Fourth line from the bottom. I just want to finish this. Ukmo mitzvah tefillin. Du bechol yom mechuyav lahaniach tefillin. Every day you have a chiyuv to wear tefillin. Ve'im avar yom echad v'lo yiniach tefillin avar al aseh. Vim hiniyah, right? If a day passes, you didn't put on tefillin, you mevatel mitzvah sase. Vim hiniyah pam achat biyom, shuv lo avar. But here's the point you wanted to make. But if you put on tefillin for mincha, he thinks you did get another mitzvah. Okay? Now, again, there's a million reasons why we don't put on tefillin at mincha, and that's not the subject of this year. But the bottom line is, he says, it's unconditional in the sense that you have to do it once a day. Every time you do it beyond that, you get an additional mitzvah, and if you don't do it any other times, you're not mevatel a mitzvah saseh. But once a day, unconditionally, that's your requirement. Okay? So now, two approaches we've seen so far. One is the unconditional approach. The second is the conditional one. But basically, every source we've seen so far says it's once a day. The only way out is it's only once a day if you're in shul and there's a minyan and they yell out kohanim, and if not, you didn't get the mitzvah, but you weren't mevatel the mitzvah. Yes?
I'm trying to understand again, what's the situation where you're mevatel the mitzvah of Birkas Kohanim?
But l'chol ades, you're in shul, you're a kohen, there's a minyan, you haven't duchened yet, they call kohanim, and you don't go.
Before that, though, if you leave before they call kohanim, and you walk out,
so
you,
then
you're not mevatel
the mechaber, you didn't get the mitzvah, you aren't mevatel the mitzvah. Quick.
This mitzvah dependent upon all the little side rules we have, like there must be a thing to wash, you have to have shoes you can take off. What do these things not give the situation?
So we'll come there in a second. I think the answer is no. You have to be very careful. I'll come to that in 1 second. Fascinating issue now. We're not going to have time for everything. Fascinating issue. I'll do it mostly outside. We all assume that the mitzvah is on the kohanim. Right? That's the simplest understanding. What about us? What role do we play? So, most of us think that our role, it was summarized by my daughter when she was 3. It's a true story. When my father was shul in Montreal, that's like Pesach. And so, of course, you know, when you live in Chutzlar, Duchen is a big deal because you don't see it that often. You know, so I take my little daughter under the talis. And so she, you know, like she asked me what's going on. So I say, you know, the Kohanim are blessing us. So then later on she says to me, this is Rachel, later on she says to me, maybe that's why we go under a talis. Because they're making a bracha on us and we don't want them to eat us. Because when you're a kid, you think making a bracha is you're like a piece of cake. You know? And that's how we think of Birchas Kohanim. We're like completely passive. We're the piece of cake sitting on a plate and the Kohanim make a bracha on us. So now look at a fascinating thing. Look at number 7. So now look. So there's no piece of cake. There's no mezonos. Right? It's just not that exciting. I don't think of myself as a brownie. Right? So now, look at number 7. Very famous. The Bir Halacha quotes the Sefer HaCharein. Sefer HaCharein was a Rishon. He says, Mitzvat Aseh Levarech Kohen Et Yisrael Sheremar Ko Tvarchu Et Pnei Yisrael. So he says, Ha'omdim Panim Kineget Pnei HaKohanim. We're supposed to stand face to face opposite the Kohanim, Bishtika, quietly. U'mechavnim Libam Lekabel Birchatam. and we're supposed to have kavana to accept the bracha of the kohen. Kidvar Hashem heim nami bichlal. Oh, he says, and if you do that, heim nami bichlal hamitzvah. We Yisraelim are also part of the mitzvah. So now, in fairness, you could say what he means is we're a necessary component for Kohanim to do that. But the real answer, according to many Achronim, is it's not true. We have an active role to play in Birchas Kohanim. We're not just a piece of cake. That we're partners. It's just as important, you know, there are all these dinim relating to Birchas Kohanim, right? You can't turn your back. You have to face the Kohanim, they're talking, you know, it's supposed to be a conversation. And it happens to be, this is what I really believe, it happens to be, like, think of it this way. If somebody talks to you and you listen and you nod, that's a conversation. Even if you don't say anything. Because the other person who's talking to you understands that you're receptive to what he or she is saying. If somebody talks to you and you turn your back, that's not a conversation.
Or you text.
Or you text, right? You're ignoring that person.
Right.
So the halacha is that the Kohanim are more active and we're more passive. It's true.
What?
Well, one second. But we're not a piece of cake. We need to stand there paying attention. And if you look in Shulchan Aruch, there's all these halachos about they're not allowed to say anything until we finish saying Amen. And we're not allowed to say Amen until why? Because we're an active part of Birchat Kohanim. According to the Sefer Charedim, we have a part of that mitzvah. So, when you think about it, you know, am I going to make it to shul or not? The Sefer Charedim would say, for a Yisrael, think about the fact that one of the things that it costs you to not make it to shul is not just tefillah b'tzibur, but your role in Birchat Kohanim.
Which makes it even worse. Why? A question, why they canceled infant studies?
Maybe.
Why is the tefillah of Birkat Kohanim so different here than it is in America?
So we have to get there. Because I won't have enough time to get there.
All we say is Amen.
This is something like Torah reading. There's a mitzvah to read it, but is there a mitzvah to hear it?
So the Sefer Chaim would say there's a mitzvah to hear it. Absolutely. That our chelek in the mitzvah is to hear it. And there, I could bring you many proofs to it, but we're not going to. I want to get through some stuff. Let's look at number 9. The Sefer Achinuch. Sefer Achinuch, as always, basically thinks the way we do. And he says, Mishashah mitzvah, Shechafetz Hashem b'tuvo ha-gadol v'arech amo al yad ha-mishartim ha-chonim tamin beit Hashem, v'chol machshivotam d'veka ba'avodatam. He says, God desires good things for us. Sefer Achinuch says and believes God loves us and he wants things to be good for us. He desires for us to be blessed by his chosen, by the people who spend their lives serving him in the Beit HaMikdash, v'nafsham kishura b'yirato kol hayom. The Sefer Chinuch really thought of Kohanim as being on a higher level. People whose souls... Okay.
I'm a lady.
People whose souls are connected to God.
It's true.
End of the second line. U'bizchutam tachul habracha aleihem. And out of the zchus of the Kohanim, we will merit brachot. V'yitbachu kol ma'aseihem v'hinoam Hashem aleihem. And we'll be blessed. Va'al titma lemor. And don't wonder and say, as I wondered and said, V'lucha feitz Hashem bebirkatam. If God wants to bless us, yitzav otam et habracha. Let him bless us. What's up with the Kohanim? Ve'ein sorech bebirkata Kohanim. Who needs Kohanim? Ki kvais. That's the question, right? If God wants to bless me, he knows where I live. Why does he need Bruce? Ki kvar, so he answers in the fourth line in the middle. Ki kvar hikdamti lecha pa'amim rabot. I've told you many times. Ki bekoach hechsher ma'aseinu tachol habracha aleinu. God wants to bless us, but in order to bless us, God needs us to be good. I've said this before. I don't know if the right word is a metaphor, but I really believe it. The Sefer Achinuch's philosophy is that God wants goodness to attach to us. That's what he wants. But the rules that God plays by, the goodness only attaches to people who are good. We have to be worthy of the bracha. Again, the idea being, it snows, it could snow as much as it could snow and snow and snow. if the ground is not cold enough, the snow doesn't stick. God wants us to be frozen so that, you know, the good particles that are all over the world will attach to us. How do we become frozen in this context? By being better people. Now, quick.
We become a mamlechet kohanim. Will we still need kohanim?
Of course. Yes. Well,
of course.
Now, it's by our goodness to chol habracha aleinu. Ki yado baruch hu, fourth line from the end. Ki yado baruch hu pitucha lakol shoel biyoto muchshar umuchan lekabalat hatov. God's goodness, God wants his goodness to attach to us. We just have to be worthy of it. Va'al kein, therefore. Ki bachar banu mikol hamim, he chose us from all other nations. V'ratza she nizke bituvo, he wants us to be zocha to the good. His hiranu v'tzivanu lahachin ma'asenu lachshir gufenu b'mitzvotav lihiyotenu ru'uyim alatov. He wants us to be worthy of the good. He wants us to be better people. Therefore, gam tzivanu b'tuvo hagadol levakesh mimenu habracha. He wants us to ask for the blessing, presumably to call out kohanim. V'shenishalo ta'ayda mishartim ha'tohorim, to request it of the holy servants. Ki zeh yihyeh zchut l'nafshotenu mitoch kach nizche b'tuvo. I think the Sefer HaChinuch is saying we need to play an active role in Birkat Kohanim. It's not enough for the Kohan to bless us and for us to be a piece of cake. We have to ask for the blessing. That's why it's so important. I think Bruce maybe mentioned this before. The asking for the blessing by our representative is a big part of the bracha. God says, of course I could bless you, but I, it's like when you tell your kids, but I wanted you to ask. Yes, I'm happy to do this for you, but I want you to ask. Because sometimes the asking is what we, you know, makes us a better person. Sefer HaChinuch says, yes, God could have just blessed us, but that's not the world and that's not the rules that he created in the world. The rules that he created are, he wants us to be worthy of the blessing. And to be worthy of the blessing, we have to ask for it. And not just ask for it, but I would add, based on what we saw in the Sefer HaChinuch, we have to stand at attention. We have to want to accept the bracha, right? When you get Erev Yom Kippur, when your father or your grandfather, whoever it is, a holy person, gives you a bracha, you know, you feel emotional and you want to accept that bracha. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, that's what's supposed to happen. We're supposed to be active participants in Birkat Kohanim. Technically speaking, the active role is played by Kohanim, it's true. But we have a role to play as well. That role is played by A, calling out and asking for the bracha, and B, standing at attention, you know, receptive, paying attention, so that it's like we're having a conversation with the Kohanim, even though we're not looking and they're not looking. Last thing. What happened in Chutz La'aretz? How could it be that if we said so clearly that it's a mitzvah every day, what happened in Chutz La'aretz? So, we'll do 10 quickly because it maybe comes to a point that somebody here made. V'samu et shmi, the Sifrei says, Shmi ha-miyuchad sheli, my particular name, meaning either the 72 or the pronouncing the Yud Kei Vav Kei in the way that we don't. Magid shehein mitbarchim b'shem ha-miyuchad. When the Kohanim said Birchat Kohanim, they said it with the Shem ha-miyuchad that we never say. Yachol af bigvulin. I might think that even outside of the Beis HaMikdash, they did it b'shem ha-miyuchad. Yiyu mitvachim b'shem ha-miyuchad. Tamud lomar v'samu et shemi. Only in the Beis HaMikdash. U'lahalon humoe lasum shemo sham. Therefore we learn that only in the Beis HaMikdash they use the Shema Miuchad. O b'mikdash mevarchin ve'ein mevarchin b'gvulin. Maybe they only do it in the Beis HaMikdash at all. Amart, b'chol ha-makom asher eskir at shemi avo elechu v'erachticha af b'gvulin. The Sifrei is clear that they duchened even outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Perhaps in the Beis HaMikdash they did it with Shema Miuchad. And outside of the Beis HaMikdash they didn't. But it's clear that even back then they did it outside of the Beis HaMikdash. Again, your technical question of did they do it in Musaf? There was no Musaf. I can't answer that. But it existed. Now, all the sources are clear. It has nothing to do with the Beis HaMikdash. I mean the greatest Birchas Kohanim is in the Beis HaMikdash with the Shem HaMiuchad. But it was done outside. We saw in the Rishonim, no one mentions anything about Chutz La'aretz not being part of the mitzvah. What in the world happened? How recent is this phenomenon that if you go to the Young Israel of Scarsdale, they don't duchen?
And for Ashkenazim is this an issue?
Okay. So, it is more of an Ashkenazi thing, and there are different minhagim for Sephardim. Some Sephardi shuls and chutz la'aretz duchen only on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. There are places that do it every day. So, look in the Beis Yosef, where you find the acknowledgement of what we think of as the earliest source. The Agur quotes, Shenishal Maharimulin. Maharimulin is the Maharil. Just to be clear, the Maharil is cited over and over again by the Ramah. The Ramah being the Ashkenazi posek. The Maharil lived in the 1300s. He is thought of as the father of Ashkenazi minhagim. Almost every minhag Ashkenaz that we bring lahalacha is from the Maharil. Okay, that's just the background. He said, this is a quote from the Maharil, Lama ein hakohanim nosim kapehem b'chol yom. He lived probably in Germany, in Poland, in Galicia, I don't know exactly where.
Germany. Yeah, yeah. Moly.
The Maharil?
Okay. Huh?
No, that's the Maharil.
That's the Maharil. Maharil. Okay, Mulin. Fine. Germany was one of my choices. I didn't mean to, you know. Fine. So he says, so why, now this is the Maharil in the 1300s, saying, why don't we duchen in Germany? And again, I don't know how much earlier, but clearly it was an established minhag already in the 1300s. Why don't we duchen? So listen to this. Me'achar shehu mitzvah taseh. He says, it's a mitzvah taseh. How do we lose the mitzvah taseh? Ve'heshiv mipnei sheminhag ha-kohanim litvol kodem. The minhag developed, and this is what Bruce mentioned before, what about taking off your shoes and washing hands? He says, the minhag developed for kohanim to go to mikvah before they duchen, okay? Shekatub b'hagot ma'amoniot, third line.
Magenza.
No, hagot ma'amoniot is the name of the sefer.
No, Maharil, Magenza.
Okay, good. U'bechol yom kasheh lahem litvol b'choref. Gets cold in Germany in the winter. They didn't have heated water in the 1300s. It's too much. V'lachein Allah haminhag davka b'yom tov. So that, you know, it's too much asking to go to mikveh every day. So they say, okay, we'll only do it on Yom Tov. Anybody
that's
like
the
this?
Reason?
So
no.
The custom,
pretty disappointing.
Yeah. Custom pushed
pretty
off.
Pretty disappointing. Vigam mitam bitul melacha. I don't know, people want to get to work. Ukishahakohain eino nikra. But now the real point. He says, here's the real thing. Ukishahakohain eino nikra eino over. He says, but in the end, it's maybe these are bad reasons, but it's not a bitul asay, because if you don't say kohanim, the kohanim are not mevatel a mitzvah. It's true we're not getting the mitzvah asay, but they're not mevatel it. This is the Ashkenazi minhag, as unsatisfying as it is. But now watch what happens. We're now four lines down towards the end of the line. One second. Says the Beit Yosef, who grew up to be the Mechaber, who was a Sephardi, obviously, the Beit Yosef writing in the early 1500s, in the late 1400s, early 1500s, I guess 1500s. Dacha, he says, Dacha katzmo. He really like pushed himself into a corner. Lekayem minhag mekomo. Beit Yosef says, very nice. The Maharil was doing his best to justify a minhag that's unjustifiable. He says, Ve'ino maspik. It's not a good explanation.
That happens a lot.
Of course. Ki masha katav mipnei shenohagim litvol kodem v'hai chumra da'ati lidei kulahi v'tali tanya b'lo tanya. Wait, they made up this chumra. Kohanim made up this chumra. It doesn't exist any place that we should go to mikvah before we duchen.
Okay.
And what happens is, because of that chumra, then later on it turns out they go, oh, we can't duchen today, so let's not, we can't go to mikvah today, it's too cold, let's not duchen. He goes, that's what's called a chumra, the asli de kula. It's a stringency that eventually lands up yielding a big kula. Happens all the time.
Didn't Ezra try that and the people decided not to go to
so mikvah? He completely rejects it, and he says, it's a much longer Beis Yosef, it's worth reading, but the last line he says, V'yasher kocham shel b'nei eretz Yisrael v'chol malchut Mitzrayim. Apparently they duchen in Egypt as well. He says, good job, Jews of Israel and Mitzrayim. Shenosim kapehem b'chol yom ve'einam tovlim l'nisiyut kapayim. He says, shkayach to them. That's the way it's supposed to work. Now, wait, we're not going to finish. Let me go quickly. Last source. Let's look at the Ramah. How do we paskin? The Ramah says, Nagu b'chol medinot elu she'einosim kapayim ela b'yom tov. Our minhag is, we only duchen on Yom Tov. The Ramah obviously lived in Chutz Laaretz. Mishum sha'az.
This is the Ramah speaking?
The Ramah, yeah.
Not
the Mishum sha'az shruyim b'simchat Yom Tov. V'tov leiv hu yivarech. It is true, and we don't have enough time to talk about it, but you know, the bracha that we make, V'ayat HaMaisol bi'ahava, is a strange bracha. What does ahava have to do with it? Right, there's a lot to say about the need to be in a particular state of mind in order to bless people. I'm sure that in the secret handbook of Kohanim, they talk about kavanas that you're supposed to have when you're blessing the people. So the Masses were just not happy enough normally. V'tov lev hu yivarech. Only happy people could give a bracha. Ma she'en kein b'shar yamim, afilu b'shab tot ha'shana. The Ramah says, even on Shabbos, she'trudim behir hurim al-michiyatam va'al bitul malachtam. Life was tough. Life was tough. He says that, you know, people, even on Shabbos, they're worried about parnasa, etc. Now, what his greater thing? What about shachris on Yom Tov? We should do chenen also. That's not the main. He says, v'afilu b'yom tov, ein nosim kapayim ela b'tfilat musaf, sheyotzim az mibeit ha'kneset v'yismuchu b'simchat Yom Tov. Musaf, you know, you could smell lunch already, right? Kiddush is coming and lunch. That's when we're really happy. So it's not the only time. I just want to point out, it's not the only time that my sense is, I want to take this seriously. People, my sense is, people felt unworthy in Chutz La'aretz to Duchen. They didn't feel like they were happy enough. They didn't feel like they were on a madrega. A lot of times, you know, it's a chumrah hasi de kula. When the rush came to Spain in the 1300s, people didn't put on tefillin every day. And he's like, what's going on? So they said, we're so worried about guf naki, you know, maybe we're not in the right spiritual state, maybe I'll have a bad thought when I wear my tefillin. So it was a chumrah that came to be a cool. People didn't wear tefillin. The rush cut it out. You got to wear tefillin. So it's a similar situation where people were so machmir, and we still do it, obviously. You go to chutzarts, people don't duchen. On the other hand, you have to point out, in chutzarts, when they duchen, it's much more exciting. Mm. You know, we've lost some of that because we duchen so often. Now, I want to finish, we're running late. Let me just finish, and then if we have time, we'll talk. How did it happen that Ashkenazim duchen in Eretz Yisrael? So, like most Ashkenazi minhagim, it's pretty much traced back to the Gra, to the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, who came here. Not that there were so many of them; there were hundreds of them. Maybe a little more than that. They came, I guess, in the early 1800s, maybe the very end of the 1700s, and they came with great self-confidence. And they basically changed. You know, they got rid of Baruch Hashem La'olam, which Ashkenazi Jews say at the end of Maariv. Most of our minhagim are minhagi Hagra, and in fact, you know, if you go all the way up north, there are places that don't duchen every day, and that's because the Talmid Hagra never got there. But here's the interesting thing.
But weren't people duchen?
Here's the interesting thing. The Gra, why did the Talmid Hagra not institute it in Vilna?
He tried.
Why did they only do it in Eretz Yisrael if the Vilna Gaon thought this was the case? So that's a fascinating story. Rav Yisrael Mishklov, who's thought of as like the main Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, even though he probably wasn't, in the Pa'at HaShulchan, he tells a story that's also supported in the Aruch HaShulchan, who was related to the Vilna Gaon. They're all in the same Mesora, that the Vilna Gaon tried a few times to institute Birkat Kohanim in Chutz La'aretz, and something always went wrong. And like in one instance, he had agreed that tomorrow they're going to start Birkat Kohanim, and that night there was a huge fire in Vilna, and it burned down the shul and most homes. It's like, it's bizarre, but apparently this is a true story. And the Svarim, it says that, you know, Mishamayim, they stopped the Gaon from instituting Birkat Kohanim in Chutz La'aretz. I have no idea what this means or why it should be the case, but that's how the minhag developed at the Talmidei Hagra, instituted it here, but not there. Quick recap. What we said is as follows. Birkat Kohanim is probably conditional, even though it's not in the Rambam, it's not in the Tur, but well, it isn't. It's not in the Gemara, it's not in the Rambam, it is in the Shulchan Aruch, right? The idea of saying Kohanim is what triggers the mitzvah. But it's clear that if you did it even without saying Kohanim, you would get a mitzvah. And if you did it many times in the day, you know, if you stick around, you go to the early minyan, and you stick around for the late minyan, you get another mitzvah. There's no question about it. Now, what about the relationship between, you know, what about them blessing us? Why not God? That's a Sefer Achil, it's a beautiful idea, that God wants us to ask for the bracha, God wants us to be a participant. That might also explain the Sefer Acharedim Shita, that we have a portion of the mitzvah, not just that we're the piece of cake, that we have a portion of the mitzvah. It's not just the mitzvah on Kohanim. And by the way, if you look in the Bahag, in the Sefer Mitzvah of the Bahag, he has two separate mitzvahs of Birkat Kohanim. It's very hard to understand what he means. One is in the regular mitzvahs that an individual has if he's a Kohen. One is in the mitzvot HaTzibur. it's very possible that the Baha'i believes this, that the part of the Yisraelim as part of the Tzibur, they get part of the mitzvah as an individual separate mitzvah, separate and apart from the mitzvah of the Kohanim to Duchim. Finally, what happens in Chutz La'aretz? It seems L'chol Adeos Me'ikri Dedina that we should Duchim in Chutz La'aretz. It's probably tied to this idea of happiness and Ba'ahava and being on a spiritual level that we would be Roy to get the Bracha. Therefore, the minhag developed only in Eretz Yisrael and only amongst Sfardim. There's no question the right result would be for Duchening and Chutz, would be Duchening and Chutz La'aretz. When the mechanic and the strength and the power to be able to change that minhag comes around, it'll change. Till then, that's the situation we're in. You were waiting. Sorry.
No, I was going to tell the story that you told me about the building.
Sorry, I didn't ruin it. But
could you clarify? You're saying before the Graz students came to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkenazim did not Duchen?
Correct.
Why?
It got lost for the same reason. Life was miserable in it. First of all, it was hard to keep minhagim when there were very few Jews.
There was no minyan. Right?
Well, when the Ramban came, you know, in, I don't know,
1270 or something.
The end of the 1200s, there was barely a minyan. I don't know when the minhag was lost. I assume that, you know, with the destruction of the community and the difficulty of life, we have to acknowledge the fact that the whole way of doing it, ba'ahava, and like the, you know, imitating what it was like in the Beis Hamikdash, must have been very hard. It must have been very sad. You know, we don't duchen on Tisha B'Av. Okay, well, I'm saying, but we, cause why not? You know, it's just hard. Avelim, you don't duchen in a Beis Ha'avel, even in Israel.
Right. No, they do.
Oh, they do?
Some of them do.
If there's no Torah scroll, a minion, they don't.
No, they do. Some do.
Okay, so, you know, the minhag to not.
Malay Adumim, the Rav is a Kohen.
What?
He always, the Rav of Malay Adumim is a Kohen.
Okay.
Even never the noble and available.
Okay, fine.
What about the Sephardim in Eretz Yisrael? They didn't accept this idea of Bahava?
I'm not saying they didn't accept it. They had a tradition, which apparently seems to be the right tradition, to always duchen. That's what the Beis Yosef says.
Ellie, I had a Kohen in the shul that I grew up with in New Rochelle, who, after many years, was told by an elderly aunt that maybe his father wasn't a Kohen on her deathbed.
Okay.
Because of Cheshash, that day he stopped duchening.
Okay.
So why would he have done that? You
because
think?
It's a brachal of Atala if you're not a Kohen.
So that's the question.
The Gemara says a Zar who duchens is Mevatel Mitzvah Saseh.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, he probably went to know. I guess the question of how certain you are.
Right. Because none of us, it's supposedly a...
Some people are certain. There are Rav Shabtai Rappaport, you know, he can trace his lineage to the Shah. There are people.
I had the DNA test, so yeah.
You know, coming from
DNA. Thank you, Ellie Weber.